Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. I'm your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and it's a Saturday evening. I'm here to keep you company again from now up until 2100 hours. So I hope you buckle up and you are ready for yet another interesting and another insightful topic. Here's Life Lessons, where we talk about life, lessons, and everything that pertains to that. Now, whether it's our own stories, those of loved ones, or those of anyone around us in the society, that's what we bring to you right here. Why? The purpose is so that we can make an environment a better place for us to thrive. We look at the positive sides and engrasp them so that we can also incompose them in our own lives, and then the negative ones so that we can actually avoid them. Well, welcome. This is Life Lessons. Now, today we have an interesting topic that we are going to be looking at. And for those who have kids with special needs, or you have a niece, you have a sister, you have a brother, you're going to learn something today. You're going to learn something new. And yeah, and maybe you have some questions, or you are in the early age stages of it, probably wondering and having many questions. Well, the lady in studio is going to help you. It's going to help me with it. Yeah, speaking from experience, that's what she's going to be bringing to us. Now, tonight we're talking about early interventions for children with special needs. And I have a wonderful lady in studio with me this evening who is going to help me talk about this topic, and that is Happy Fun Bake. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. It's a pleasure having you in studio. Happy, how is your Saturday?
Awesome. The fact that I can be here, I mean, it started off great knowing that I'm looking forward to an evening with you.
Yeah.
Talking about things that's really close to my heart and that I'm passionate about.
Yeah, I love that. Close to my heart. I remember the first time when I called and I told you I wanted you to have you. And I was like, so what will you be doing on this specific Saturday? And he was like, talking to you, apparently. And I was like, I love such people who are ready anytime, yeah, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, when we're talking about children with special needs, before we get into everything, because we have a lot of time to actually dive and digest and break down everything, when we're talking about children with special needs, what is your definition of children with special needs?
So a child with a disability is a child that is challenged in every area or some areas of their lives. So we all have senses. We use hearing, visual, touch. So those are the senses. And the moment that a child is challenged in any one of those senses, and they need someone to help them to achieve something, to help them to achieve how to read, how to play, how to communicate, how to interact, how to read the room, how to socially engage. And those are all challenges that children might face, and that's what we need to address, and who needs support and how they need support. So you would identify, or you would classify disability as anyone that needs extra, extra step, an extra mile, extra inclusion to feel part of society and to feel part of a learning process.
Mm. You know, of course, one thing that is coming to my mind in terms of children with disabilities or children with special needs, are we just referring to perhaps one who is not able to maybe make use of all her limbs, or is it more than just that?
No, it's absolutely more than just that. It's children who have intellectual impairments, children who might have learning difficulty. Now, intellectual impairment and a learning disability is two different things.
Yeah.
You might have a child that struggles to achieve milestones, so they have developmental delays, but eventually they catch up with their development milestones. So then they would, as the sooner you act on a disability, the sooner you can identify a child is struggling to walk, a child is struggling to sit up, and we can intervene and act when we identify the challenge, then we can actually help many of these children prevent a secondary disability. So it might be children just with, you even have people with psychosocial challenges, and that actually adds to a source of disability. They might struggle to be socially incorporated into life, and that's where we want to make an advance and to step in to say, how can we as society be inclusive and supportive? I always have this picture when I talk about disability and inclusion and equity. I have this picture of a child that is standing on a stepping stone.
Before you tell me that, I'm so sorry.
No,
and then we have a scheduled commercial break coming up.
Enroll today in the Certificate in English and Communication NQA Level 4 at Velvica University. Master the art of communication, speak, write, and succeed. To be admitted into this program, prospective students must meet the following requirements. Have completed grade 11 NSSCO or grade 12 NSSCAS with a minimum of 27 points in 6 subjects with less than a D symbol in English. Or have completed grade 12 NSSCO, NSSCH, IGSCE, or HIGCSE with a minimum of 22 points in 6 subjects with less than an E symbol in English. The closing date for applications is 25 April 2025. For more information, please email admission@wu.edu.na. That's admission@wu.edu.na. Velvica University, where everyone is an achiever. No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's.
And we are back. Like I told you, I'm joined in studio by Happy Fun Vic. Now, Happy, you're talking about when it comes to children's special needs. This is a particular thing that you always refer to.
Yeah, so equity and equality. You know, many times we fight to be treated the same, and especially children with disabilities. We think they want to be treated the same. They need to be treated the same. But there's actually an aspect of equity that comes in. It doesn't. We can't give all children the same because they're not the same. We are all so different, and God designed us so differently. We all have a voice that sounds different. We look different. We sound different.
We like different things.
We speak different languages. But that makes this world such a beautiful place. And I always say to our children with disabilities, why would you want to be a pigeon when you can be an eagle?
Yeah.
So let's just find the eagle in everyone. So it boils down to we can't treat everyone the same. We can't give everyone the same to be treated the same. Some children need an extra step. Mm-hmm. Some children need an extra picture, an extra voice, an extra hour in the classroom.
Yeah.
Some children need an extra pen or a pencil, something different to achieve the same quality and the same equity and the same challenges that they face. They need different material. They need different tools to get to the same challenge or to the same outcome. So it's not really fair to say we need to treat people the same, because that's not what it's about.
That's true.
It's really about giving everyone what they need to achieve the same outcome. We all have dreams and ambitions. I can help you to achieve your ambition. I just need to make sure that you have what you need to achieve.
That's true. And come to think of it, nobody wants to be treated the same as everybody else. Yeah.
You shouldn't want to be treated the same. It's boring.
Exactly. And the world would be boring if we're all the same. Imagine. Yeah. Now, you're the managing director of Side by Side Intervention Center, and you're also a mom, or was a mom. You share that story with us, of course, of a daughter with a special need.
Yes.
Now, when did you actually find that you're passionate about dealing with children with special needs?
You know, it actually boils down to when I was about 16 years old, I knew I wanted to be a missionary. So it was between working on the farms, being an environmental specialist, you know, saving animals and saving children and saving lives, and be a missionary to tell people about the kingdom. And I really thought that that was going to be an easy life. I was just going to study how to be a game ranger, and I was going to work at Itosha, and while I'm working there, I'm going to tell people about Jesus.
Amen to that.
Then I became 18, and we went to Tintibus, and we spent some time there, and we were laying water. We were laying pipes for water because they were walking really far for their water. So I was really excited. We went with a bunch of young people and the pastor, and we were going to pray for people. And one night, and I always thought to myself, I never want to lose a child to death. I wouldn't handle that trauma. It's it was, to me, it was unthinkable
yeah.
to have to lose somebody that close to
yeah,
you, being
yeah.
a mother.
Yeah.
And so this one night we were praying for people, and this one mother comes up to me and she puts her child in my arms, and this child was severely disabled and breathing heavily.
Yeah.
And she said to me,
"Hold that for me."
Yes.
Are you ready for a fresh new flavor? Then enjoy the latest addition to the Vintook beer family. Vintook lemon flavored non-alcoholic beer. It's got the same taste that you love, but now with added lemon flavor to guarantee 100% refreshment in every sip. Now that's 100% real. Head to your nearest store and enjoy the new Vintook lemon flavored non-alcoholic beer for yourself today. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Okay, so sorry for that. And then we had another ad. Okay, so then this was an interest. You were getting to something really yes. interesting. So then this lady puts a child in your lap?
Puts her child in my arms, and yeah. this child was disabled and was breathing really difficult. And she said to me, "Pray." And I thought to myself, I can't do this. You know, I'm just 18. What do I know about praying for children who's dying? And it was the very first interaction I had. So I put the child back in the mom's arms and I said, "Go to the pastor." And I went to my tent and I cried in my tent all yeah, alone by yeah, myself. Yeah. And I just said, "I can't do this. I'm not being a missionary. It's not going to happen. I can't watch people suffer. I can't do it."
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty much where my journey started. And then I met my husband, went to study to be a game ranger, met my husband, fell in love. I actually wanted to choose a man that would make pretty babies. I chose well. So met the man, thought, "Oh, yeah, he's yeah. going to make pretty babies. I'm yeah. going to marry him." It happened. We had three beautiful girls, but as time went on, we worked on lodges and moved to town because I wanted to start a family. And you can't work on a lodge and have a family. It's 14 full hours of
yeah,
working per day and having children. Then you have to think of school. So we moved to Windhoek and fell pregnant. Second one was born. And then when I got pregnant with our third daughter, I was working as a financial manager, running books. And she was born, and then shortly after birth, we noticed something was wrong. Literally a few hours, I knew something was wrong, and then yeah. I diagnosed her myself because, of course, I'm a mom. It's my third daughter.
Instincts.
I know.
Motherly instincts.
Motherly instincts. So I knew, I think in that first 6 weeks, I knew if I had to put a name to it, I'd have to face it. So I diagnosed her myself with reflux. It's fine. After 6 weeks, she's going to be fine. But that was the worst 6 weeks, I think, of our lives
yeah.
because she was so sick and she was having seizures and I thought it was stomach cramps. And so the diagnosis happened within that 6 weeks and we heard that she would probably not make a year. She wouldn't live to a year.
Mm.
She had a severe disability.
Yeah.
But we went from having the first diagnosis to the second diagnosis to the third diagnosis all within a year and a half. And then that's pretty much where it started in Namibia, because having a child with a disability now, you have to become a doctor, a therapist, speech therapist, psychologist, counselor overnight. Mm-hmm. You have to counsel your family, prepare your other two children. And they were still young. Our youngest two differed about 15 months, and then Ilandri and the middle one differed about 17 months. So they were 1 and 2 years old when Ilandri was born.
Yeah.
So it was already, as a mother, you're in so much denial. Like, my child has a disability, but it's not going to be us. She's going to be one of those that's going to be fine. She's mm-hmm. going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they're that small, you can't really anticipate what's going to happen.
No.
You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what the extent of a disability is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember this one day in the hospital when the doctor came in, he asked the mother in the room with us, "Can she speak Afrikaans?" And the mother said, "Yes, she understands Afrikaans." And then he asked the nurses to please take the mother out for coffee because he had to have a conversation with us because we were sharing rooms.
Oh.
And so then he sat down and he said to us, "Our daughter has a disability and it's a pretty severe one." And I remember asking him, "So what does that mean? Will she ever yeah. walk?" And she was 6 weeks old. "Will she ever walk?" And he said, "Maybe, probably not." "Okay, but she'll talk, right?" "Maybe, probably not." "Okay, but she'll know my name, right? She'll know my voice."
Yeah.
"Maybe, probably not." You know, and that was, I think, one of the hardest things is as a husband and a wife to have to face our child has a disability, why? Where did it start?
Mm-hmm.
And as a mother, as the woman who carried her, I was supposed to protect her. She was growing in my stomach. My body was supposed to protect her. You immediately go to, what did I do wrong?
Mm-hmm.
What just happened?
Mm-hmm.
Did my body poison her?
Mm-hmm.
Did I maybe drink a glass of wine when I shouldn't have?
Mm-hmm.
Did I drink medicine?
Yeah.
Did I do something wrong?
Yeah.
And that never goes away. It's been 12 years now, and I still sometimes wake up and I wonder, I think back and I think, oh, maybe I drank a glass of wine. Maybe I was pregnant already.
Or maybe I took paracetamol.
Exactly.
When I was having a headache and I could have just
gone
through it.
And I didn't know I was pregnant and something like that.
Ibuprofen.
Exactly.
So many questions.
So you keep going back to that, and you have to, even after 12 years, you have to say, hey, B, we went through this. This is not your fault.
Yeah.
She was meant to be who she is.
Exactly.
She was meant to be here. If it wasn't for Ilandri, I would still be just a bookkeeper, just somewhere in a company, working from one paycheck to the next, not knowing why I'm breathing and living.
And not living your purpose.
And not living my
purpose. And not touching the lives that you should be touching.
Absolutely.
And not making impact in the society that you'd be doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh,
that's exactly what she did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's in short.
Did you ever, at one point, I know like a lot of people do say to themselves, my mic is too high. Okay. Did you ever at one point maybe ask yourself, why me?
Absolutely. You always do. I think I remember she was a few months old and I sat in the room, in this hospital room. So the first 3 years of her life, I spent in hospital. My husband was a single dad to our other kids. And we were really spending most of our time in hospital. And I remember thinking, you know, what did I do wrong? Why would God punish my child for my sin? Because that's what a lot of us, churches believe that, you know, many Christians believe that. So I sat there and I'm thinking, I must have really made God mad somewhere in my life, you know? And I was asking, like, why us? Why me? Why not us? Why not me? Yes, that also came up. But then a friend of mine came in and she's like, hey, B, is there any answer? Be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any answer God could give you to say, you know what, Hapi, for exactly this reason, I gave you a child with a disability. Would you be happy with any answer? And I sat back and I'm like, okay, she's trying to be snippy now, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's now trying to sound very intelligent.
Yeah.
Well, she was. Because the reality is that there was no answer that would be good enough for me to say, oh yeah, God, that completely makes sense. Absolutely. I will just embrace this with both hands. There's no answer like that.
No, really.
So she said to me, then why challenge him to answer you when you're anyway not going to be happy with the answer? And so I just decided, you know what? I am going to live a life that gives her a legacy. I am not going to live a life where my marriage will fall apart.
Ooh.
Our older two
daughters.
We need
to get to that.
Yeah, we are going to get to it. Our older two daughters are not going to know that God loves them because they got this sister who was punished for our sins. I just decided she's going to have a purpose, a quality of life. She's going to have a legacy that the day that she breathes her last breath, we are all going to say, we honor your life. We made the best of every day.
Yeah.
There's not going to come a day where we're going to say, you know, you were not good news to us.
Mm-hmm.
You were not the plan. We didn't want you.
Mm-hmm.
You caused us to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
We just decided it's not going to happen.
And thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Her life was incredible.
Wow. And she lived on to how many years?
She was 9 years, 7 months and 14 days when she passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 8 years, 7 months and 14 days longer than the medical field anticipated her to be.
Exactly. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, and it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. How was it like raising? Because I know this can be also a challenge, raising a child with a special needs and having other kids, because, you know, the attention, she gets more attention as it should be, because she needs more care and all that. And now having to balance that with the other girls, they also need their attention.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that was really tough for us as well as a family. I mean, my husband is a great dad. He was born to be a father.
Yeah.
And he's incredible.
Beautiful.
And he, while he was raising the other two, we had this younger one that was in hospital. And I remember missing out on a lot of things, you know. And but we had an incredible family that were just supportive. My brother, he's like their second dad. He took them out for milkshakes. And when my husband and I both needed to spend some time with her in hospital. And there was many times that the doctors would come and say, you know, take her home for a day or two. We'll leave the drip in, but take her home so that her sisters can get to know her. Mm-hmm. And that was a great, great time for us.
Yeah.
But we'll dive deeper into that soon.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Now, with that being said, we have a commercial break.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low, because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Mukungu lelekwa tuko maikuto amina apidi kwa mavcha ziva. Mwere kisema app ato kasi.
And we are back. Yeah. So you're working us through the journey of you and your husband having to take care of your daughter and the other two girls, and your brother also coming in to chip in and make them, not feel like their parents are not there.
Yeah, absolutely. And my mom also, you know, my mom and my dad, when we needed to go to South Africa for follow-up, second opinions, third opinions, sixth opinions, ninth opinions, 10 opinions, you know, my dad was just always ready. The car was loaded and he was going to drive us there. And the family that jump in. When it comes to our daughters, it was really, I never wanted them to fear death, because we would never know. And I remember the first 3 years of her life, you know, living every day in so much fear that today was going to be her last day. So you kind of, when you're that traumatized and knowing your child is going to die, I think people with cancer probably live the same, you know, live in that anxiety. And so in the beginning, it was really hard. And so our marriage struggled because I was constantly living in this past of what if today's the last day? Did we research everything? Is she going to have a quality? Will she ever be in pain? And she couldn't speak, so she couldn't tell us. She couldn't eat. She was gastric tube fed, so she had a tube in her stomach all her life. So she was about 6 months old when she got, or now 8 months old when she got the tube. So everything was done for her, you know, and she was sleeping so much and she had seizures. So she wasn't so much medicine to try. She was sleeping pretty much 20 of 24 hours a day. And if she wasn't sleeping, she was crying because she was in pain. It wasn't always like that. She would have periods, but it was a constant adjustment to what's her next need, what was going to be our next challenge, dislocated hips, scoliosis, liver pain, you know, stomach issues. So there was always that new challenge up that we were facing. So our other two were really like pushing through life, trying to make the best of it. And we tried to celebrate their milestones, tried to celebrate grade one while that it was looming over us that two of our three daughters would go to grade one. Two of our three daughters would go to high school. Two of our three daughters would make matric and have a matric farewell.
Yeah.
And it was,
so it made it more special in a way.
Absolutely. Because it just made us embrace it even better. And when we spoke about death, it really became a beautiful conversation, you know, almost like we're leaving this in God's hands. We don't, you know, the reality is that people might tell you your daughter will probably not live until a year. But what if you don't? What if you die tomorrow? There's no guarantee that you would survive today. Vehicle accidents, heart attacks. I don't know what's going to happen.
In your sleep. I talk about death. And a lot of people are not ready for us to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, of course, no one ever really prepares to say, I'm ready to die now.
No.
Of course, you do take the steps that you can. But death can happen anytime.
Absolutely.
And we should. And we always look at it as death can snatch away other people, but not me.
Yeah, it doesn't happen to me.
And it doesn't happen to my loved one, you know.
Exactly.
Only next door.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you start preparing to lose a child. And with her disability, we were just so worried that we were going to be stuck in the challenges that she was facing, and we were going to be stuck in the negative, that we were going to forget how to make the positive count. Yeah. So we just one morning after 3 years, you know, our marriage struggled, and it wasn't struggling in a bad way. It was just like we started, we were in two different fighting zones. Mm-hmm. I was fighting for survival, and he was like just fighting to get his older two daughters through school and going to work and making sense of this life. It was a great challenge, but we faced it head on.
Look at that. Yeah. And we'll dive right into it when we return from this commercial break.
Omiaru odhuri kekucha iponga ivurithi oma yovi omurongo na gali ya dhidhiri kwa mona mibia omvura aziko. Onkene onditara onora oyo awike omaru wiponga watamba kumojira dhitumo pasanjika. Otashi vurika, sao shimpuyu, ningashoka shumojira, eto hupitha o mwenyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% off its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. Auto Cash, it's that simple.
And we are back. We're talking about early intervention for children with special needs. Now, you talk about the struggles that you and your spouse actually go through. And truly, usually I would say to people like, you know, when we say those vows, for better, for worse, in good times and in bad times, you don't know what your worst is going to be. You don't know your good times are going to be in your bad times. And they will come because this is life.
Absolutely.
It takes us up, down and everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And sometimes your challenge, and every marriage has its challenge. And your challenge was now having this child who needed your care. And if the two of you were just going to focus on us and this and this and this, then it will eventually also just collapse.
Yeah.
Take us how you navigated that.
Yeah, I think still now thinking back, it's amazing, and I think both of us had to decide to commit to it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's strange when your parents, there's always that blaming game, but the thing is, we don't really blame each other, we think we blame each other. So I would think, he thinks it's my fault, you know, I must have done something wrong, and I suspect that it's the same with him, you know. She's so strong, she's like fighting, she's this fighter, because I'm telling you, you don't get a better FBI agent than a mother looking for an answer. That I can give you. And you can ask any doctor that we've engaged with. I've met a lot of mommies on this journey with children with disabilities. And we would just gang up against these doctors. Like, we need answers and we need it now.
Like, what's the cause?
Yes. And the pediatrician literally told me, like, you mommies are just fire. You know, if we need an answer, we find the mommy with the child with a disability. We're going to get it. And so I think in all marriages, sometimes the woman, because it's a mother instinct to protect her children, you go into this fight or flight. And that's actually, it brings me to my next topic that I want to touch, is parents with children with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
We are designed to fight or flight. Our brains are designed in that way.
Yeah.
Now, the moment my daughter was diagnosed with a disability, I went into fight mode. Now, fight mode is you Google everything, you research everything, you find three doctors that can contradict the one doctor. And if they all agree, then you want to prove them wrong and you want to get them fired.
Yeah.
You know? Because you're right, they're wrong.
Yeah.
So you leave no stone unturned. now what happens in our society right now, and especially I think in public healthcare, is a lot of these mummies will go for answers and there's one door after the other just slamming in their faces. Yeah. There's no help for disability. We don't know where to, you know, refer you. There is no healthcare facilities for children with disabilities.
There's no shoulder to go and run to that is like not your spouse because you know how women, we kind of like understand each other.
Yeah.
And even if there was, there's another mom out there who has a child who has special needs exactly like yours, you don't know where she stays and whether she exists and
how does she get her answers, what questions to ask, where to go, support groups. And so there's literally nowhere to refer these parents, and then the parents eventually you start dying to self and then you go into flight. So a lot of these parents, when we get to interact with them, it's pretty much already too late because they went into flight mode. Well, nobody's here to help my child. My child's anyway going to die. Our healthcare facilities doesn't support us. My child has hydrocephaly. My child has CP. My child has epilepsy. There's no support for my child. So I'm watching my child die slowly but surely. And there's no help. And then they go into flight mode, meaning I'm just going to feed my child. I'm just going to dress them. I'm just going to wash them. But that emotional disconnect is starting to happen because that mother knows that there's going to come a point where she's going to have to say goodbye. And how is she going to do that? And the only way to do that is
preparing you for that.
Nobody prepares you for it. Nobody prepares you for it. We had a strong support system and thank God for that.
Yeah.
And that's why Side by Side was born. And that's why it is there, is to make sure that these mummies, if you're listening out there and you are someone having a child with a disability, these disabilities, that's not, it's not, the child won't die in the next 10 years or 20 years.
Yeah.
They might grow up to be 40, 50, 60 years old. Many of these parents then live with the fear they're going to die before their children do. And who's going to then care for their child? Where are they going to go?
It goes from it goes from fearing that my child is gonna die soon to now that they are adults, I'm gonna, what if I die before them, who's gonna care for them?
It goes to that point of now I need to prepare, my child needs to die before me because what now? What are we, who's gonna love them?
And this is reality. That's our things reality. That people are going through.
Absolutely. Every day we work, we see about 120 parents a week of children with disabilities. And these are all of them. I mean, many of them are elderly. Their kids are 18, 19 years old. And this is the first time they've heard someone explain to them what cerebral palsy is or what Down syndrome is or what autism is.
Before we get into that, we need to talk about how you ended up being the managing director of Side by Side Intervention Center. And first, before you say that, tell us, what is Side by Side Early Intervention Center? Am I saying it right?
Yes, you are. Side by Side Early Intervention Center is a center that supports children with disabilities. But the focus is not just the child. The focus is the family.
I want to add that. Located in the heart of Korea.
Yes, please do. It's actually one of my favorite places.
Yeah, ne? I see your car every time when I'm coming and you're going.
So it's situated in the heart of Goreanghap to make sure that we give access to families out there who struggles to get to quality healthcare facilities, who struggles
which
to get
far,
very far. And it's difficult.
And expensive. Absolutely. And have to be double all the time because they have a wheelchair or they...
That's another challenge. I have a child in a wheelchair. I flag down transport, a taxi, Yangoo, whatever. Flag down transport and then the wheelchair doesn't fit into the hatchback car that just stopped to pick me up. And so I was once waiting with a little girl next to the road with her mom, and we were flagging down taxis and all of them really wanted to help. Like this taxi would stop and the guy would get out and he's like, yes, I'll load. And then the wheelchair just doesn't fit. Doesn't matter how, when we do it, doesn't fit. And so this one guy came to me once and he said, I'm going to save up for a bus now so I can help you. I'm like, praise God for people like you.
At least, you know, sometimes it's just what you need.
He's going to think about this, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
And I think that's part of the awareness creation as well, with Side by Side being there in the cars driving around with these bright stickers. With kids' pictures on wheelchairs and these puzzles the bucky has the puzzles on, and the message on the bucky is, if you constantly see the disability, you will never see the brilliance and the beauty and the skills and the gifts. And I think that's really our message to the community. And when these taxi drivers stop and they really want to help these kids and, and they can't, they're like, oh, I'm going to make this work.
Yeah.
This wheelchair will fit in my car.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a challenge. So now the mommy stops the car and she needs $13 to get to the hospital, but now she needs to pay for the wheelchair because the wheelchair is taking up space of two more people.
Yeah.
And so now she has to book out this taxi so she can get her child to the hospital. You can't judge the taxi driver because he needs to fill his car up, but you
and
also
he needs
can't
bills to pay for his kids.
Absolutely. But this mother needs to get her child to the hospital. Take another example. You have a child with autism who is really difficult. And if they don't have routine, they start stimming. So they scream. They might hurt themselves. And now they're going to the hospital and they sit in a row for 6 hours waiting to just be seen by a doctor. This child by 20 minutes is stimming already. This child is acting out, throwing tantrums.
Yeah.
And the rest of the world thinks he's naughty. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, he can't speak. He can't communicate.
Yeah.
And he
and
just
they think
his
mom doesn't discipline him enough.
Exactly. And then the mommy is being judged. And then the mom just feels like everybody's watching, looking at me. The social worker is going to knock at my door very soon. And then she takes a child and she goes home. And that child ends up with a lung infection. He ends up with having, you know, gone into getting sicker because she couldn't wait in the row because a child had a disability and it wasn't considered. So that's really it's a handful of the challenges that these parents are facing. You might have a child who's 1.5 meters long and he's every bone in his body is dislocated because of the cerebral palsy diagnosis.
Yeah.
And she needs to get him to a hospital because his pressure wound is infected. How do you load that car, that child, a tiny mummy carrying him from one of the mountains and she needs to get him to the hospital? How do you do that? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really the awareness we want to create is, can the neighbors and the community really start acting and say, mommy, I'm just checking on you. You were quiet for 2 days. I haven't seen you.
Yeah.
And then she can say, my child is sick. And then he can say, great, I'll get a taxi for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk about communities. Talk about really being good citizens, supporting each other.
Exactly.
Let's start with awareness creation for disability.
Mm. I just love that. You know, I do. You're really bought for this. Let me put it that way.
Thank you.
You're living your purpose.
I am.
And I think you know that.
I am.
Okay,
absolutely.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And many times when I speak to communities and to parents, I say to the parents, you know what's shocking about this world?
Yeah.
Is we all have disabilities. My daughter and I both had a disability.
Oh, really?
The difference is the world could see hers, but they can't see mine. You know what my disability is?
What?
Fear.
Do you know what my disability is?
What's yours?
Blinking a lot.
I hear you. But why do you blink a lot?
I don't know. It's a disability.
I think many of our disabilities comes from a place of I'm not good enough.
Mm.
And I'm afraid of trying something because I'm afraid of failing.
Oh.
And many of our disabilities leads into alcohol abuse and drug abuse and self-hatred. And now I'm asking myself, who has the better disability? My daughter, who didn't even know she had a disability and just flew through life, living out her best life.
Yeah, yeah.
Or me fighting myself every day to be a better version than I was yesterday.
Yeah.
And so I say to the world, both of us have a disability. Just
all
because
of us
you
have
can
disabilities,
see hers
yes.
doesn't mean I don't have one.
Exactly. While you're there, you know, and as you're speaking, my second-born son, he's acting out lately, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what, maybe he's a special need as well. And of course, not in those exact words, you know, but maybe he needs special care because kids are really not the same. And earlier you just told us that, you know, everybody is unique. He is different. Okay, the brother is so hardworking. If mommy needs this to be done, he'll do it. Him, it's the other way around. The sister, not so difficult and whatnot. What if we actually start looking at our kids and say, let me meet them. Let me meet this particular child at their point of need.
Absolutely.
Let me reach out. Let me give an extra hand. Maybe I don't stretch out my hand that long to the first one or the last born, but maybe I need to extend my hand much longer to the middle one. Maybe life would be much more easier.
I hear you. I think it will be easier for them too. We have to remember with the middle child, the first child is the one that achieved the milestones, and everybody, the family was called, a video was made, we put it on YouTube, they won a gold medal for walking and talking.
Yeah.
You know, they made their first joke, everybody laughed.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes the middle one, and the middle one is living in the shadow of the first one. The first one is going to grade one. The first one is having her first dance recital, and everybody attends because it's the firstborn. And then the little one comes and she's like, I'm walking. And everybody's like, yeah, great. Yeah. You're walking just like your sister.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You talk just like your sister. Oh, you're just as funny as your sister. And they live in the shadow. And then came Ilandria, our last born, or your last born, maybe.
Yeah.
And they need special care, and they're tiny and they're fragile, and we need to get in. And the middle one wants to touch. Oh, no, no, no. Don't touch your sissy. Don't, not like that. Not in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so the middle one is more like the one who needs to scream to be heard. The older one just needs to breathe and he's hurt because he does everything great.
And he was the firstborn.
He was the firstborn. He's the champion. I think sometimes the middle kids just, that's their way of trying to say, listen, I have a voice.
And I'm here.
I was born for a time such as now. And I don't care how you find your way to see that I was meant to be here, but I'm here.
Exactly.
And I think that's why they sometimes just, they're like hardcore people. And they are just, when they walk into the room,
true,
you gotta know they're there.
Exactly. And we continue right after this commercial break. Don't go anywhere.
Are you ready for a fresh new flavor? Then enjoy the latest addition to the Vintook beer family. Vintook lemon flavored non-alcoholic beer. It's got the same taste that you love, but now with added lemon flavor to guarantee 100% refreshment in every sip. Now that's 100% real. Head to your nearest store and enjoy the new Vintook lemon flavored non-alcoholic beer for yourself today. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Yeah, I hope you're enjoying the conversation as much as I am, you know. And we're talking about early intervention for children with special needs. And I like how Happy actually has this energy to it, you know. For those of you who have special children with special needs, I hope that this is teaching you something. This is I hope that her energy is rubbing off on you to say, wait, you don't have to be grumpy about it. You can actually enjoy life with your baby. Of course, there's a lot of work that needs to go with it. And I guess that's why there's side by side.
Yeah. I think also what I wanted to highlight previously is when we decided our daughter was going to have a purpose, we decided that when we go camping, she's going to go with, whether on oxygen machines or not, whether on a feeding machine or not, she's going to go camping. So we bought an old Bucky and we converted the Bucky with sunroof chargers, and she went camping with us, and we didn't glamp, we camped. Like, there wasn't electricity. We lived off of the Bucky and the energy in the car.
Yeah.
But she had her own aircon inside her tent.
Yeah.
Her sisters were fighting for a place in that tent. But she had her own little aircon that worked off of the car.
Yeah.
Because we just decided that we were going to build memories, but it's not going to exclude her just because of her disabilities.
Uh-huh.
I think the one thing that rubbed
and that
off.
Wouldn't, sorry, while you're there. And I don't think that would be nice, because you, we might think that they can see, they can whatever, but they can
they
tell.
Can.
Mommy and Daddy were away with my sisters without for a weekend.
Absolutely. No,
and they show
know.
Up like, everything is fine.
They know. They absolutely know. And I think every time that we went on these camps, she didn't talk, but she would make these noises. So when she was in the tent and we were outside by the fire and she woke up, she would call, like making these little baby sounds saying, I hear you out there by the fire. Why am I in here?
Yeah.
We are camping after all. And it
you,
was.
You would take her to the fire sometimes.
Absolutely. The mosquitoes, she wasn't her best friend though. But there was so many ways that we could include her, and I think we learned along the way how to do that. And the greatest thing that I think we've learned from her is to teach her sisters how difference can be beautiful and how to be inclusive and not to bend over backwards to be inclusive.
Ooh.
And her sisters are now those people that would walk into a room and there would be no discomfort when there's a person with a disability. In fact, they would be the ones like calling a spade, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm really so proud of them, of how they would act and include and interact with children with disabilities. They sometimes would come to me and say, I think that child has a disability. And then you can't even see it with the naked eye. But when you speak to the mom's like, oh yeah, my child has autism. Or, oh yeah, my child has, and I'm like so humbled by the fact that my children are so sensitive to what their peers might need and how they can be inclusive. But I'm going to stop bragging about them because they're going to hate it when they hear it.
Because they're teenagers now and they're at that stage like, mom, don't talk about me like that.
Don't you even dare share a photo of me without my permission. We're there. But I remember when my oldest was 7 years old, when I had to teach her how to position her sister when she had a seizure, or if something big happened and we weren't there, what did she need to do? She needed to call an ambulance, or what would the actions be? So she would feed her through the Mickey, through the pipe. So Ilandri would never be able to eat through her mouth, so she wouldn't taste food, but she can smell.
Oh,
so we would do tests or exercises with her mouth just to stimulate taste and stimulate swallowing.
Okay.
Okay, so she would feed her through the pipe. So now on a Sunday afternoon, I would roast the chicken and we would have butternuts in the oven. So when it's feeding time for Ilandri, she just got milk through her pipe. So her sister will sit with her and feed her with this milk. And she would say, Ilandri, guess what you're having for dinner? You're having roasted chicken, butternut. And she would literally tell Ilandri that I'm feeding you roasted chicken and butternut.
Aww.
And Ilandri would just lie there giggling and smiling and gooing and goggling. And I realized that even whether she understood or didn't understand, her sister made sure that she felt included, that she knew that she was wanted, that we spent time, even lunchtime was community time. Lunchtime was engagement time. Just feeding her milk or giving her milk through a pipe was a moment to engage with her and make sure that she's okay. And I think if Ilandri was born to make her sisters the incredible humans that they are, then her purpose was fulfilled. And that answer would be good enough. That moment in the hospital where my friend asked me what would be good enough, that would be good enough.
And guess what? She didn't just make her sisters make an impact in her sister's life. She made an impact in your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Looking back now, she saved us. And if that was her only purpose, is to make sure that our souls were saved.
Yeah.
God did it.
Oh, wow.
He brought heaven home.
Yeah. While we're there, I don't want us to get off topic, but we're going general now, just for a little bit of a while. I want you to speak to us about our own personal challenges, that they're not there to actually kill us, to drain us, to what us, but actually to bring the best out of us. Because look at your challenge. Another family could be broken down by all this, but your family rather, of course, I'm sure the challenges within the beginning, it wasn't easy. It was something that you had to incorporate. It's not something that you're born already knowing and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But speak to us, speak to me, speak to the listener about that one challenge that they have gone through or they're going through, and that it's not there to break them down.
I was a teenager when I saw a picture of a guy trying to push a big stone up a mountain, and the stone was like six times bigger than he was.
Yeah.
And so obviously in the picture, you can see the stone will never move, but this guy was just putting his effort into it and pushing the stone every day. And when the first picture was, the guy didn't even have muscles on his body. It was just this tingy little tiny human trying to push a stone up a mountain that would never happen, FYI. And then later, the last picture, this was this muscular man, still pushing a stone that wouldn't move, but he was pushing it. And then I remember the bottom part said, difficulty and challenges doesn't get easier. The pain doesn't get less, but you get stronger.
Ooh.
And that's literally, I feel we are, if we're lucky, we get to live 60 to 80 years on earth.
Yeah.
But this is temporary, right? We're going to go to heaven. Exactly. We're going to rule the world with Jesus.
Yeah.
But
we're going to reign.
We're going to reign.
My daughter's name is Reign, specifically for that, what you're saying now.
But we also have to face challenges here so that one day when we reign with him, we're going to continue to face challenges. And we have to make sure that in spirit and soul, we are ready to face whatever is necessary.
Yeah.
And I think this time on earth, the 60 to 80 years, is just to make sure that the strong and the weak, that we make sure that we are strong enough to overcome the weak moments. I don't think, you know, when I think back, it's very spiritual for me. It's absolutely this whole journey. I wouldn't be who I am if I didn't have God. And I remember him specifically in the hospital room. My daughter was dying. She was about 4 years old and she was, overdosed with medicine because she couldn't get out of a seizure.
Yeah.
And I literally remember him saying, "You think you're going through this alone? Do you remember that my son died on the cross? I was betrayed. I was humiliated. I died for people who didn't deserve it."
That's true.
"There's nothing you as a human can go through that I have not gone through."
Mm.
And yet, when I'm in a car accident or when something big happens in my life, I'm like, "Oh, poor me," you know, and we get in this hole, and it's okay to be in a hole, but goodness, get out of it.
Don't be there forever.
Don't be there forever. And I think that's the one thing that I've learned is we are going to be challenged. Nowhere in the Bible did he say, "Oh, you're going to have a lavish life. You're going to have roses every morning. You're going to have warm coffee and you're never going to face a challenge." Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's
a particular
scripture while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
He says, he made the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. It's in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, I think. So when I read it, I said, he made him perfect through suffering.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely. Yeah. And that's where Paul, look at Paul. Paul wrote letters from jail. Paul died the most horrific death ever. John died horrific deaths ever. And yet they lived unconditionally devoted to the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so I'm just asking you, if you wonder why me, really? Why not you?
Exactly.
Shortly after our daughter passed away, a year after our daughter passed away, she passed away the 5th of October 2022. And then shortly after that, my husband was diagnosed with brain cancer. And so he had...
Same month?
Brain... No. It was last year, June last year, so 2024. So it's 2 years after her death, year and a half.
Oh, okay.
You know, and then immediately we're like, my goodness, how do we do... Honestly, we were just recovering and then all of this all over again.
Yeah.
And then I realized I never want to wake up one morning and wonder if God still remembers that I exist. The fact that we face these challenges reminds us that we are packed animals.
Uh-huh.
And how many people do we have there supporting us, guiding us, fighting for us?
Yeah.
And at the same time, just checking in on yourself to make sure every choice I make today, is it a good one?
Hmm.
Am I trying to be today better than I was yesterday because tomorrow is not a given?
Yeah.
And am I making sure that every choice I make is going to change this world for the better?
Yeah.
And those are the big, all of these challenges make me realize that today is more important than tomorrow because I'm not guaranteed tomorrow.
I'm looking at you and I'm like, Lord, I want to live my purpose like she is. And I want to know that I am now, you know, working in my destiny. You understand? Because I remember so very well, some few years ago, not too long ago, maybe 2 years ago, and I woke up and I was like, Lord, what is my purpose? Why am I living? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And seeing you talk about the story, you know, like there's so much power in us telling our stories. Mm-hmm. And I think because I'm also a very good listener.
Yeah. You are.
Yeah. Makes me realize that, hey, wow, she had to go through that and look at her now.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And there's a scripture that also comes to mind, by his stripes we were healed. And now quickly think about it. How many charities are started because of people's stripes, because of their hurt? There's not one charity on earth that was started from somebody that says, oh, I think it will be a good idea to do a gender-based violence charity.
Yeah.
I've never been abused in my life, but let's start one. I think it sounds like a good cause. It doesn't happen like that. It happens because somebody walked the walk and talked the talk. And they decided one morning, I have a testimony that is not meant for me, but meant for someone else so that their lives can change for the better. Jesus went through hell and back on earth. literally.
Yeah, literally.
And he never went through those challenges because he needed it. He went through it because we needed it. So it is by his testimony that we today can be saved. His testimony literally keeps us on track. Mm. It's the same with our challenges. My challenge with my daughter is probably a story somebody else needed. It's not necessarily our journey and her story and her life isn't meant for me to keep secret.
No.
It's meant for me to share.
Thank you.
Because someone else needs to hear that you are stronger than the challenges you face. You are strong enough to face everything till death.
Yeah, man.
Whenever death comes.
Actually, yeah. Actually. You know, there are times when I would actually walk home. Let's maybe in the afternoon or whatever time, I'm walking home from the cab, from the taxi rank, and I'm like, but why do I stress about certain things again?
Remind me again.
Like, I think God just wants us to go through this life. Of course, we find challenges, but then I think at that point, he wants us to rely on him. But, and then I ask myself, yeah. And why do I worry so much? Like, I can't do anything about it with worrying and stressing.
No.
Even if the situation is there already. I think that's the question I need to remind myself again.
Yeah. Why are you stressing again?
Yeah.
Next time you stress, you send me a WhatsApp. I'm stressing.
I will.
I'll ask you, why are you stressing again?
Thank you. Thank you, Happy. Thank you so much.
I'll keep you accountable.
Yeah, you should. You definitely should. So now, wow, interestingly, we have not even gone for a musical break because the conversation is so beautiful and anyone, but for the sake of the listeners, let me give you guys some music, okay? So we'll see you right after the commercial break and the musical break. Don't go anywhere. It's just getting started.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia.
At Heineken, our brewing process is a special one. We use unique horizontal brewing tanks, creating that characteristic balanced Heineken taste for that refreshing thirst. Ah, not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Mukungu lelekwa tuko maikuto wami na apiri kwa mavchaziva. Mwere kisema app atolo kasi nchafu kamso, zakale liferile, mise kunani zencha. Kuzo wakwa kushimba lifera zarivuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Mwone maikuto amancha a imba app, mwikutwe kulibusie mba santo ye mwietuna. Mwikole sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Amuvone, imba encha ni encha falizwe ikopo nye mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilini, kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali njira mlimu. Zengwi, zefu mani hamasfera sesifa app ya imba, ize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, simane kakarunga, Africans, nizengwi zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kereke ya mina, si eke zwefa mkoloko walifera za imba, 0812358063, kapa mlumere imele kwa digital@omalighty.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio.
1, 2, 3, 4. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be.
standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Oh, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be.
When the brokenhearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer. Let it be. They will see. There will be an answer. Let it be.
Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Oh,
there will be an answer. Let it be.
Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Oh, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom.
Welcome. If you're just tuning in, well, you're listening to Life Lessons right here on Eagle FM. Now, today is two happies in studio. Of course, spelled differently, but pronounced the same. So, so glad to have you in studio with me.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, now take us back to your spouse was diagnosed with brain cancer 2 years after the death of your little girl, Ilandra.
Ilandra, yes. Ilandra, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was diagnosed and went through operation, and the tumor was removed and went through chemo treatment and radiation.
Yeah.
So now he is, he rang the bell about 4 weeks ago, done with chemo. Aww. So now it's just building our life again just getting used to our new normal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited and I'm really grateful for the time, you know, when you get like this one trauma after the other, sometimes you forget that it's actually, as I said, it's not meant for you. Sometimes it's meant for someone else. Mm. And so we're just facing it head on with our armors on and teaching our girls to be resilient no matter what life throws at you.
Exactly. And I'm sure they are.
They are. Yeah. They are. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And how is he?
He's good. He's very good. He's very optimistic, very positive. Sometimes I look at him and I'm like, how do you do it? Like, don't you just want to sit in a corner and cry?
And he probably just wants to tell you, I'm a man as much as we do that. Yeah. But
what, me crying? No way.
I know.
No, but he's really good. And I think we all have things that really pushes us in this life. And he has the girls and, fishing and all that nice stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I have side by side.
Let's go back to side by side.
Okay.
Just the last month, I think so. Was it beginning of this month? I'm not sure, but you correct me on that.
Yeah.
Side by side partnered up with Vilvicha University, signed a memorandum of understanding for, the student social workers.
Yes.
At Vilvicha to come and be trained at side by side.
Yes.
Walk us through that.
So, side by side really wanted to, over the years, as we started advocating for children with disabilities at any level. So we mm-hmm. really wanted to make sure that children at birth were being cared for and catered for and where early intervention would happen. And so throughout this journey, we partnered with UNICEF. We partnered with the EU, to do system strengthening pretty much in Namibia.
Yeah.
And, part of the system strengthening is really to go to universities that work with social workers, mm-hmm. occupational therapists, physiotherapists, doctors, nurses, ECD teachers, primary teachers, mm. secondary teachers. So everybody that works with our children and preparing our children for the future,
yeah.
that they would understand the need for disability inclusion and the need for understanding disability in its totality.
Yeah.
Every area of a child with a disability, challenges they might face social, education-wise and medical-wise. And so this university just started their social work
mm-hmm.
University or department.
Mm-hmm.
And they phoned us and they said, listen, we have social workers and we want to make sure that they are fully equipped. And we said, oh yeah, you knocked on the right door. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And so Side by Side does home visits. So we go out to the houses of children with disabilities. If the child is on palliative care or is maybe too big for the mom to carry,
aww.
Or there might be many reasons why children can't really travel and that it's better for Side by Side to go to them than they come to us.
Okay.
So we have one of those house visits and that's where we include now the universities and we say, come with us. Let us take you to the community. Mm-hmm. Let us show you the circumstances that many of these parents are facing. And I think when it comes to social work, you have to pretty much be a master of all trades. As a social worker, you have to understand what a father, what is the challenges that he faces? Mm. A mother, what are the challenges she faces? Mm. Teenagers in a community that struggles to reach education, that doesn't have electricity so that they can study at night. What do they face? Mm. When they become a product of something, where did it come from? Why are they who they are? And so social workers really have to have a broad understanding of what makes you who you are.
I take my cap off for social workers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Completely agree.
Yeah.
And I've interacted with so many of them that really reached a point where they're so happy. You know, I love my job. I love being a social worker. But where do we take people when there's no help? You know, how do you look a mother in the eye and say, there's no facilities in Namibia to help you care for your child? Who is severely disabled. There's no schools to take a child in who can't read or can't write
yeah.
or needs permanent care or needs a personal carer.
Mm.
And so I think social workers pretty much opened our eyes to the need that the ooh. Community has.
Okay.
And they really advocate for what is it that the community has and then advocate within the medical and the universities. Listen, if we look at education, you got to include a disability module in that. You can't just be a teacher. You got to be a teacher that thinks innovative.
Mm.
How do you do that? Include a module for disability.
Mm.
How do we adapt classrooms and learning material to suit every child? We can't just put all children in boxes and say, there's 40 kids. I'll put you at each one of you at a table. There's your chair. There's your pen. We all learn the same.
Some kids come in with wheelchairs.
But we also don't all learn the same.
Exactly.
Some of us learn in colors. Others learn in black and white. Some of us learn by pictures. Others learn through reading.
Yeah.
We don't learn the same and we can't force that on someone. Did you know that Albert Einstein was dyslexic?
Nope. Okay. He was?
Dyslexic. He had dyslexia. So he struggled with wording. He struggled with reading. He struggled with remembering comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the most intelligent people in the world. He was the most intelligent person in the world. He just learned different.
Look at that.
He just learned different. So we really have to be inclusive. And that's where it comes to the universities, UNAM and Valvicha and hopefully IUM very soon, hopefully NAMCOL as well,
yeah, yeah.
that we can really take hands and say, how can we incorporate a module on disability in every aspect of tertiary learning?
Mm. You know, I just realized earlier I had asked and I just didn't follow up on it because I asked two questions at the same time. How did you become the managing director of Side by Side?
So Ilandri was born in 2013, yeah. And she was diagnosed in that year, but the diagnosis evolved. So as time went by, I realized I needed to understand what I needed to anticipate her next need. So for now, she didn't need a school, but she would eventually. So how do I, when she's a year old and I ignore what the medical field said and she would grow to be 6 or 7 years old, where will I find a school for her that would? So I started advocating already for her needs when she was 1 or 2 years old. Mm-hmm. But in the process, I decided that I needed a center to teach me how to appreciate her for who she is, how to empower her through her own strengths, and how to face her challenges with her and be grateful for it. And so I found this center side by side, and it was run by Sandra Holweg. She was a German. She was a volunteer from Germany.
Yeah.
I fell in love with Namibia and just started this nonprofit. She was a remedial teacher. And so she started this little center. She was supporting about 25 children in the center with remedial learning and children with disabilities doing gross motor, fine motor, sensory integration with children with disabilities, but in the community.
Yeah.
And so I found her online. I actually found her through
phoning. As you're Googling it.
Well, it's not really Googling. I think I phoned the Ministry of Disability. Oh. And I said, I'm looking for an organization that will teach me how to be a good mom to a child with a disability. And they're like, phone Sandra.
Yeah.
And that's how I found her. And so she invited me to come to the center and to share my story with her. So I went there and I remember it was such a humble little place. And I sat with this tiny little baby in my arms and I told her my story and I cried my eyes out and she cried. And then she said, you know, next week I'll be training a mommy in the community that has a daughter like yours, if you'd like to join me. And I said, sure. And I joined her. And I remember my very first training was on the floor of a kobashi with a mommy whose baby was pretty much as severely disabled as mine. And we were just hanging on the lips of this woman that was inspiring us to just love our kids. And it was such a humbling experience shortly after this lady, her child passed away.
Aww.
But that really inspired me. So then we started a trust for my daughter. And then the medical aid started paying all of her expenses. So we had this money in a trust. So I phoned Sandra and I said, listen, we have this money. Do you need things? So we bought blankets for the kids. And I started getting involved on a social aspect.
Yeah.
And then in 2016, she phoned me and she said there's a chance that her work permit won't be approved again the following year. So would I be interested in taking side by side over, because she doesn't want to close the center. It's doing so much for these kids. And I'm like, please don't close it. So I started training with her end of 2016, going on to 2017. And then September 2017, I started working side by side with her until December. And then the 1st of December, she went back to Germany and side by side officially became mine and the new board of directors.
Oh, look at that.
And so, and it grew from there. So we were supporting 25 children at that stage.
Yeah.
And we only had two buildings and then we grew in size. So we are currently standing at 120 per week that we are supporting. We have a database of about 520 that needs support. We grew from 5 employees to 18 employees, a bunch of volunteers, medical professionals that's supporting us in the
Ooh,
process.
Yeah.
And then we started the multidisciplinary approach that we're hoping that Namibia will buy into. Every child with a disability needs a multidisciplinary team.
Mm-hmm.
That means a social worker, an OT, a physio, a pediatrician, psychologist. And all of those sit together to discuss the future of this one child, making sure the parents are wholeheartedly and fully supported to make decisions for your child.
I tell you what, I think Namibia will buy into it. For sure. The people at the top?
They have already.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we, through the support of UNICEF and the EU, we really were able to collaborate with ministry and sit in into very important meetings.
Yeah.
Budget planning, policy change, inclusion of children with disabilities. And we're very proud to say that the ministry is so open to inviting us in and sharing or allowing us to share our knowledge and our experience, because they want to be there for our kids. They really want to evolve. And I think we have a great a great government right now that really is committed to bettering the lives of our children.
I have that same faith and that same hope. Things are going to change. Yeah. They're going to get better.
All definitely. For the better.
Yeah. It's 2025, new year, new things.
Agree.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. And then when you took up, and what about Sandra when she went back to Germany? What is she busy with?
So Sandra continues. She's also working in Germany in centers for children with disabilities. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much her heart and her passion.
Yeah.
And so she continues to do that. She's still a very good friend and we make contact where necessary. And I think when I need to cry on somebody's shoulder and I need someone to tell me, you can do this. Come on. Don't give up. Then she's the one like Sandra. but it's really such a gift to have these people in place.
Yeah. I know, right? And certainly when it comes to support system, that's something that we need. Like if everyone can have that one person whom they can rely on to and a shoulder to lean on to, then yeah, great.
Yeah, absolutely. We all need a shoulder to rely on.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's a journey. Indeed. Now, when it comes to, side by side and all the people that you deal with.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Mukungule kwa tuko maikuto amina apiri kwa mavchaziva. Mwere kisema app atolo kasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferile, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zari vuka, kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Mwone maikuto amancha a imba app, mwikutwe kulibusie mba santo ye nyetuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha, nye encha farizwe, ikopu nye mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilini, kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali njiramu limu. Zeni, zefu mani hamasfera sesifa app ya imba, ize tatama. Elsi, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, simani kakarunga, Africans, ni zeni zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kireke ya mina, si eke zuefa mkoloko walifera za imba, va 081-235-8063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalite.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune in.
Do it just like you. Something magic in the way you move. You're original, you know it's true. Don't let anybody take your tune. You ain't got a single thing to prove. You're original, so just be you. Just be you.
You're one of a kind.
a kind of once in a lifetime, not just another face in the crowd. You light up a room with the light that's inside you. Don't be afraid to let it out.
So hold your head up, don't let anybody get you down.
No one can do it just like you. Something magic in the way you move. You're original, you know it's true. Don't let anybody take your tune. You ain't got a single thing to prove. You're original, so just be you. Just be you.
Believe you're here for a reason. This world needs somebody like you. 'Cause anybody can be a copy. There will always be people talking. So face your fears and chase your dreams and dance like no one's watching.
No one can do it just like you. Something magic in the way you move. You're original, you know it's true. Take your tune. You ain't got a single thing to prove. Your original, so just be you. Just be you. Just be you. Just be you.
One of a kind. A kind of once in a lifetime. Not just another face in the crowd.
No one can do it just like you. Something magic in the way you move. You're original, you know it's true. Don't let anybody take your tune. You ain't got a single thing to prove. You're original, so just be you.
It's Sadie Robb here, and a lot of you have been wondering, what is the Liberigenal Tour? Well, allow me to inform you what the Liberigenal Tour means to me. What it means to me is it's an opportunity for this relationship right here to go off the screen and to finally meet in person and have an opportunity to connect on a heart level. You see, guys, this is something you can't get on the screen. This is something you can't get from YouTube even, or even from TV, because I don't have enough time to share what my real life is and what I'm really passionate about doing, and this is it all wrapped into a night. So please come. Please come expect it.
Yeah, and we are back. We're talking about early intervention for children with special needs or disabilities. And of course, I'm joined in studio with, my English is not English in me tonight. So I'm joined in studio with Happy Van Beek, and she is the managing director of Side by Side. Early intervention to help mummies or families with children with disabilities. And wait, Happy, I want to find out, like, I know, I think I took this when I read about what you actually do. It's the emphasis of helping families of children with disabilities. Why specifically that?
Well, it doesn't help that we just spend the time on the child if the parent doesn't buy into what we want to do.
Yeah.
It's all about, there's a child with a disability that needs to achieve a certain goal. And we want to help them to achieve their milestones, to face their challenges head on. But the family and the parents specifically need to buy into this journey.
Mm.
How do I get my child to walk? How do I get my child to communicate? How do I get my child to be socially engaging? And the parents need to understand, what is the sacrifice as a parent that I need to make to help my child? The family need to understand what support that mother and the father would need. And the community needs to understand how to support the family.
and the siblings. Because it's just not mommy and daddy.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the siblings is so impacted through this life of this child. And it does alter their course of life as well. So if you have a sister or a brother with a disability, it changes the way you see life. It changes your decision making. It absolutely impacts who you are.
Yeah.
I always say the World Health Organization say that in Africa, 1 out of every 5 people have a disability. That's what the statistic says. So if 1 out of every 5 people have a disability, there's an average of 3 people that's affected by that one person's disability, yes. Which means that in essence, 4 out of every 5 people you meet every day has been impacted or changed because of disability.
Mm-hmm.
So it is actually very common. And yet disability is the one thing people are very uncomfortable talking about. Disability is the one thing that we feel nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody should talk about it. Why not? We have family members and people with disabilities that have dreams and ambitions greater and bigger, far beyond your imagination.
Exactly.
And yet they achieve it. And we are the ones who struggle to achieve our ambitions.
And our goals.
And our goals. Because they have grown up fighting for what they want.
Mm.
We can also fight for what we want. And yet we just find reasons not to.
Mm-hmm. Maybe sometimes we don't have the stamina to,
maybe.
And they have the stamina to,
they do, because they've always had to fight to get through,
true.
To achieve what they want.
Yeah, that's so true. Now, let me invite the listeners. Should you want to ask a question, Happy is right here in studio. That is on 083-288-401 to come through and ask your questions right here. Or perhaps you have a contribution that you would love to share with us. Our studio line is now open. And with that being said, we're stepping away for a commercial break, but you're welcome to call in.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-37.
Enroll today in the Certificate in English and Communication NQA Level 4 at Velvicha University. Master the art of communication, speak, write, and succeed. To be admitted into this program, prospective students must meet the following requirements. Have completed grade 11 NSSCO or grade 12 NSSCAS with a minimum of 27 points in 6 subjects with less than a D symbol in English. Or have completed grade 12 NSSCO, NSSCH, IGSCE, or HIGCSE with a minimum of 22 points in 6 subjects with less than an E symbol in English. The closing date for applications is 25 April 2025. For more information, please email admission@wu.edu.na. That's admission@wu.edu.na. Velvicha University, where everyone is an achiever.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Mukungu lelewa tuko maikuto wami na apiri kwa mavuchaziva. Mwvele kisema app ato lakasi nchavu kamso, zakale riferire, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zalivuka kuya kwa lifasi na lifera fama kepe. Mvone maikuto amancha aimba app
Mui kutwe kulibusie mbasa antoye mwetona. Mui kore sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina.
And we are back. So, like I told you, our studio line is very much open. Should you want to come through, ask a question, give your opinion or contributions, studio line is open, 083-288-401. Now, Happy, when it comes to side-by-side interventions, you did speak about, of course, we broke down and spoke about your memorandum of understanding with Vilvicha University, yes, and also other things that you have in the pipeline with other social workers, you know, and also have wanting to have a child to have, I want to get
multidisciplinary
approach, like a whole therapist, you know, this, I love that.
Yes.
I love that. Now, is this only beneficial to people who are directly involved with children with disabilities or special needs? Or can I, somebody who's in the media, actually also get to partake and learn more, or what?
We are absolutely open to everyone out there participating in any topic regarding disability, because you never know when disability will knock at your door.
Thank you.
I always say to the people that we work with, why do you want to wait until you are in a wheelchair before you want to fight for the rights of persons with wheelchairs?
Yeah.
Why can you not fight already now for the inclusion of people with wheelchairs?
Hold on. Why are they?
Yes.
interestingly, somebody who was working in justice, and when they were there, they didn't think about, you know, things that perhaps those people who are brought in as criminals will benefit from. Mm. Now, when they are in that chair, finally they feel like, you know what? Let's treat people like this. Let's treat people like this. But wait, people are criticizing to say, but when you were in the seat, in the upper seat, you could have made changes.
Absolutely.
So I love that what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
So while we're at it, uh-huh, why not just open it up to everyone and leave no one behind?
Thank you.
And so that is, that's why we actually do training. So we last year we trained 2,000 Namibians on disability. Okay. So we talk, it's basic topics like, what is disability?
Yeah,
where
yeah.
does disability come from?
Yeah.
What is disability etiquette? How are we allowed to speak of and about people with disability? Do we know that we can't really speak on behalf of persons with disability, but we should actually include them and involve them in decision making?
Yeah.
When we build buildings, are they accessible? Is there ramps? Are they, lifts, do we think about the size of the door? Mm. Can the door open so that somebody in a wheelchair can move independently in yeah. and out of the door?
Yeah.
Those are basic things that we open it up to the public. And I think that's what the awareness regarding side by side really created, is the inclusion and the understanding of, as a mother, even if I didn't have a child with a disability, as a mother advocating for my child's future, I might as well just include everyone. I might as well think about everyone.
Yeah.
And if we can, in Namibia, we're only 3.2 million people.
Yeah.
I think the census said that now,
yeah,
the last
yeah,
census.
Yeah.
We're only 3.2 million people. I mean, 3.2 million is not even how many is staying in some countries in one town. If we can really start advocating, and every action we take is to think of everyone and not just myself, we can really start becoming an inclusive country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Inclusive society.
And now, while you're actually speaking that, I was wondering, what about children?
Mm-hmm.
Do yes. you also yeah. include children?
Like,
there's something, you know, last Saturday, I think it was last Saturday, I want to get the right wording. activist. Oh, no. Let me know. He's not an activist. Okay, but he's an activist mm-hmm. for people with, disabilities.
Yes.
And Joseph Sham. I don't know if you know him. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then he organized a walk from B1 to town. I think yeah. to Windhoek High School.
Okay.
So that in a way to raise awareness for people with disabilities.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought you would probably be the, I should have connected the dots.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's next okay.
time.
Next time.
yeah, next time.
I'll find Joseph personally.
Exactly. So interestingly, when that happened, you know what? I was like, hey, I think I want my kids involved.
Yeah.
And we decided we're going to go and take a walk with them.
Awesome.
And we ended up mixing it. Oh, we didn't go walk with them because we kind of mixed up. We found another group there, followed that group, and got lost and whatnot. So now this is making me think to see, mm-hmm. I would also want my kids to be sensitive to children with special needs.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't want them to say the wrong words or mean words. Mm-hmm. What about, we're talking about bullying at school. Mm-hmm. What about if there is a child who has a disability, but they can come to school, mm-hmm. They can walk on their own, but they have a special need.
Yeah.
I would want my kids to, you know,
be
sensitive to them and inclusive of that person. If the rest of the classroom is not going to sit next to her when mm-hmm. she's going to have her lunchbox, I would want my daughter mm-hmm. to walk up to her and say, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's eat together. I can be your friend.
Yeah.
So what about kids?
Yeah,
do you
absolutely.
Incorporate them?
Yes, we do. Okay. So, we were invited last year to talk at a school. It's actually a very well-known school. I talked to their high school teenagers. So I had so much fun. We were explaining to them what is a physical disability, what does physical disabilities look like, where does it come from, what does it mean.
Yeah.
And so this one young man puts up his hand and he says, how am I supposed to talk to a 16-year-old, because I'm 16, that is in a wheelchair? How am I supposed to treat them when I see them in town?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you treat them like you would treat another 16-year-old.
Oh.
You speak to them. And he says, yeah, but what if they are in a wheelchair and they can't speak back? And I said, well, you never know what they can and cannot.
Yeah.
So you walk up to that young man, you invite him to your football match or your hockey match or your rugby match. You tell him what he can expect there. And then if he can't respond, his mom will probably step in and say, oh, he would love that.
Yeah.
Or the mom would probably say, you know, he won't go because he can't. That doesn't matter. At least you took the first step of involving and including them. So we absolutely advocate. And I think the next, my 5-year dream, my personal dream, in the next 5 years, that every school in Namibia will have a child that is different just because we want to be inclusive. We'll have a child. I mean, I met Dr. Ndopu.
Yeah.
He's a Namibian, a product of the Namibian people. And he works for UNICEF. He's very big up in overseas in UNICEF, and he advocates for disability, also in a wheelchair, but he comes from Namibia and his story is incredible. Now, I'm not going to do his story justice if I tell you. But
okay.
His
you
mom,
need to connect us.
His mom worked 3 different jobs so that he could go to a private school, and no school was inclusive, but they took him to one of those international schools. And he went to international school, and the man his mom worked for paid for the school because his mom couldn't afford it. But he said, you know, if Ndopu can make it and he's intelligent, then, I mean, let him study. And he was the very first African man with a disability that went to Harvard University.
No way.
Yes.
You're kidding.
You have to.
And he's a Namibian.
He's a Namibian. If he comes to Namibia again, I know people that knows people, you know.
You owe me.
I know you, but I think he would be a fantastic person to just share his own story. I'm not doing his story justice, but he came to the center. It was about a year before my daughter passed away, and he met her and he met our kids. And there is a little girl at our center called Rosalina. So he asked her what she wanted to be. And she said, I want to be a teacher. And he said, why? But they were both in wheelchairs. We actually have it on video. Why do you want to be a teacher? She said, so that I can teach children who are like me, because they're intelligent too. She's at our center. She's now 15. She's at our center, but she's such a brave girl. Like, if I have to start telling you about these stories of these children at our center, how they just encourage one another. And I mean, one of the boys at our center, he can't use his arms or his legs, but he plays soccer, and he plays freaking good soccer. But it's just, you have to really be around them. Sometimes I have to remind myself that they have disabilities, because they are so much bigger than life.
Yeah.
That it just absolutely, I love my life. I'm enjoying every second there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible.
Walk us through a day at the center. Like, what is it that you guys do? What are the kids there age-wise, you know? You did earlier actually say different kids, autism, you mentioned that as well.
So any disability, if the parents are referred to us by either the community healthcare workers or by themselves, so they talk amongst each other in the community, or they are referred to us by the hospital. So at the center, we have a playgroup. So in the playgroup class, we have about 14 children with different disabilities between the ages of 3 and 6. Mm-hmm. Then we have the foundation class. The foundation class is about 11 children. They also have different disabilities, and they are now getting ready for school.
Okay.
And then we have the learning center, which is now the grade zeros to grade threes. And those are now actually the children waiting to be included into schools.
Okay.
So they are on waiting lists. Our resource schools are very full. So at the center, we do therapy, we do counseling, healthy breakfast, we do integration. And so while we are preparing these children for school, it doesn't help that we spend all of this time and effort in getting them ready for school, and then they have to go home and sit and wait to on a waiting list.
Yeah.
So then we realize that this is actually not beneficial. The kids go to our center because we're an early intervention center. So mm-hmm. 0 to 7, we take the kids. But then when he turns 7, we say, okay, tick you, bye. And then they go and sit at home. And then 3-5 years later, then the school's fine to say, okay, now we have an opening for
after
your child.
After they've forgotten.
Exactly. Then they've lost everything we've invested.
Yeah.
So then we started the learning center as a waiting area.
Mm-hmm.
So now the kids, after they're ready for school, we apply at Morrison, Dagbreek, all these mm-hmm. other schools. It might actually be a child who isn't intellectually impaired, but severely physically impaired. So mm-hmm. they can go to a mainstream school
yes.
because they can make matric.
Yes.
They can learn optimally.
Sure.
So then they have to wait with us until they get included into a school, and then they follow a curriculum as well. So we make sure that they are school ready whenever they are being phoned. This actually then prepares them that you don't have a 13-year-old going to grade one, but you have a 13-year-old ready for high school, or a 13-year-old ready to go to school
yes.
based on his peers as well, not just.
So you have qualified teachers.
Yeah, that is there as well. Then we have one-on-one sessions and group sessions. So these might be parents of children with disabilities that need sessions like full-on occupational therapy, speech support. So they come one-on-one, and then the parents are being trained during these 45-minute sessions on what is my child's goals? Okay, so I have an IEDP, Individual Educational Development Plan. This plan is designed by occupational therapists that work at our center, either volunteer or are part of the University of Namibia's group of students. So every child at our center, we have 42 children in the school, part of the school going and foundations.
Mm-hmm.
They each have an individual educational plan. Now the mother is being made aware, what is the plan with this child? Where do I want the child? The next step is to crawl, then to walk. So then we include the mother in the decisions that we make as a multidisciplinary team.
Mm-hmm.
And this mother then wholeheartedly commits to the process. So even though we see the child once a week, this mother is now the therapist of the child that does these therapy sessions every day at home. And automatically we make her the next best therapist.
Look at that. This is interesting.
So that's one of the services as well that we give.
Yeah.
So in total, and then we do home visits. So we go and see the parents at home. We make sure we help them apply for disability grants. We make sure they apply at schools. We make sure that their rights are being upheld when it comes to quality healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
When they need something and we as a country can't give it, then we advocate for it on forum forms, platforms.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in total, we run 6 programs. Under every program is projects. So in total, we run 30 projects. Each designed to cater for every child's specific area of life.
Yeah, I see. Wow.
And that's one day in the life of a side-by-side employee, volunteer, mother, child,
manager.
We also do sports. So we partnered with Special Olympics.
You
so,
did?
Yeah, we did. And they run a young athletes program. So every Wednesday morning, their coach will come, and then all 42 of our kids are lined up and ready to do sport. And that obviously helps a lot with gross motor activity, fine motor activity, confidence. You know, when they hit that goal or they catch that ball, where we take it for so much granted, those kids just celebrate each other.
Aww.
And they just, I mean, the joy on that place, in that place. If you want to come and visit us,
I'm coming
Wednesday
to
morning is Ooh. Awesome. Then you'll kick ball.
Okay. Okay.
Catch balls. Mm-hmm. Throw darts. Nice. I don't know what it is.
Side-by-side interventions. Situated in Khoria Gabriel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then, most of your students or your learners, mm-hmm. Are they from Khoria Gabriel or different places?
It's different places in Windhoek. Okay. We obviously, because we train throughout Namibia, so we do parent trainings as well.
Yeah.
So parent trainings, public trainings, corporate trainings. So there's a lot of training going on. Trainers of the trainers, which yeah. means that we go to the universities and we train the lecturers on disability so that they can include that in their classes. So there's a lot of training going on in Namibia. Mm. So there's obviously a lot of parents that will phone us from other regions to say, listen, we have a child. The child was just diagnosed by educational psychologist. Where do we go? What do we do? Do you have place? We cannot accommodate all of the kids.
Of
we have one venue. We have three classes. We can, but the need in Namibia is massive.
Mm-hmm.
So at this stage, we are really advocating that every region will have a center that can support in every area and aspect of a parent and a child's life
mm-hmm.
with a disability. But we have, so most of the kids that's with us is from Windhoek because they stay with their parents or with family members. And we are hoping that we can eventually put a blueprint on the table that the ministry and the private sector can look at and say, you know what, this is actually something that will benefit Namibia and our next generation in such a big scale. And that's my goal.
Like I said before, I believe that goal is going to materialize.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, who wouldn't want to support or give into something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when it comes to really inclusivity for yeah. all of us, that's yeah. exactly what we need. That's yeah. exactly the direction we're going now. A lot of us, and I love that point that you said from the very beginning, to say we all have our own disabilities. Mm-hmm. Might not be obvious. You know, everyone... The other one's one might be mm-hmm. obvious and mm-hmm. mine might not be so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, inclusivity is exactly the way we're going.
Yeah, yeah.
And I trust that, I know you probably, I don't want to say at the beginning, but in the middle, heading somewhere mm-hmm. there and making impact in the lives of many, not mm-hmm. just the children themselves, but the family. Imagine a mom who goes to side by side before she would cry herself to bed and just like, God, I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
And now she actually comes to you guys, sees other moms and kicking yeah. balls with their kids or, you know,
yeah.
and goes back home to say, wait, it doesn't have to be such a drainer. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah. And what was so beautiful last year is end of last year when we did our concert at the end of the year, our kids were like, they were doing the whole show of Jesus' birth and it was the most parents we've ever had at the concert. So we spoke to one of the Oma. She came all the way from the north and we spoke to her and we said, this is the first year we've seen you here. Why did you come? And she's like, you know what? I had to come and see for myself because they said that our child will never walk or talk. And now the child is in a play and talking and advocating for himself. We had to come as a family from the north to see this.
The grandmother.
The grandmother. There was almost 100 parents there.
When was that?
Looking end of December or just before December.
Oh.
So it was our 42 children in our school
yeah, yeah.
that had their own play. And our center were filled with opas and omas and aunts and uncles
sharing
and nephews.
Their grin.
Even
yeah.
even some of the taxi drivers, the cab drivers, they came to look because they're driving these kids every day.
And they feel like I'm part of this family too.
They came suited up. Watching and looking at these kids performing. And it's like, even now when I talk about it, I get emotional because I still see them like celebrating these children
yeah.
because according to the medical model, they weren't going to ever be able to achieve anything.
Oh.
And now you look at them and they are these bombshells of people that
yeah.
are just like, well, you will stand still because I have something to say.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's incredible.
Yeah. Interesting. Are you going to be hosting that every end of the year?
It's every end of the year.
Great.
They do their own
Great.
Show and they, and it's also an opportunity for them to show off with their parents, all the hard work that they've put in throughout the year.
Yeah.
They get report cards, showing their parents what they've done, how they can read. memorize verses. But there's really this one boy can't use his arms or his legs. So, but he wants to be a fireman. So when I met him, he said he wants to be a fireman. So the other day I took him home and he said, "Miss Hype, I have a problem." I said, "You have a problem? No way. You're like 13. Yeah. What problem could you have?" And he said, "I realized that I need arms and arms to be a fireman."
Aww.
I said, "No, who said that?" He says, "Well, I watch it on YouTube when you guys show us these videos and they hold these pipes with their hands." And I said, "No, you can be a fireman, being the emergency call person that somebody will call and say, 'My house is burning,' and then you will be the one to say, 'Do you have a bucket close by? Get water. Come on, you can do it. Where's the fire? Pour the water on the fire. Don't open the back door because we don't want to give it oxygen.'" And after I spoke to him and I'm like, are you with me? Are you seeing how we're running through the house?
Yeah.
Can you help me bless this fire?" And he was giggling all the way home. And then when I dropped him off, I said, "Don't you ever allow anyone to tell you you don't have what it takes to be what you want to be." And those are the kids that we are empowering as a next generation. You know, one of those kids that side by side might even be the next president of Namibia, and you don't know it.
And you don't know it. I think these kids are blessed. They are lucky to have you. And you know what? And I think that God prepared you with your daughter in that journey to just stay you on. To be able to, you know, if you had not gone through that process, I don't think you will understand every aspect. I don't think you would really listen with the understanding. Of course, you may have the ears to hear, but the heart might not really be grasping it.
Absolutely. No, Ilandri was absolute. She's the wind behind it all. Yeah. Even while she's not here, she's still here.
Exactly.
The legacy lives on.
Yeah. There's one question I want to ask you. You're now so familiar with so many medical terminologies and so many of it, occupational therapist, this, social work. Did you at one point decide, let me go and do you have perhaps a certificate in any of those things or? What?
No, I'm always when I sit at a table and people introduce themselves at these committees and they're like, "I'm Dr. So and so,
yeah.
I'm Dr." And then they come to me, I'm like, "I'm Happy Van Wyk, a qualified mom, doctor's degree in parenting." And everybody usually laughs because it is an icebreaker, but yeah, I'm qualified at nothing, experienced at nothing. Everything.
I'm qualified at nothing, experienced at everything. Yeah.
So, I do have a counseling certificate, so I can legally do counseling.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do now, I'm 40 years old and I look back and I realize if I were to go and study at the age, well, I did study when I was 18, I wanted to be a game ranger. So I studied game ranger management. And then halfway through it, I met my husband. I'm like, who wants to study when you can be in love and get married and have kids? I mean, seriously. So that happened. And I didn't finish my studies with game ranging, although I can tell you some interesting things about lions and cheetahs. But then now looking back, I realized even if I did go and study, like finish my studies, it wouldn't be an OT. I would have never thought that I would be an occupational therapist or a physio. I always thought I'm not intelligent enough. I'll never get there.
Okay.
And now at the age of 40, I'm actually like, you know what? I actually want to go and study to be an OT. But now I'm very old.
What is an OT?
Occupational therapist. Ooh. Or a PT, physiotherapist.
I think you should. So, for the fun of it and for the...
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm thinking at the age of 60, when you retire, you still have so much to share. So I'm thinking if I do my OT now and I still work 15 years, then at the age of 60, I can go and work in UNAM and continue to share my passion with the new generation of PTs and
with
OTs
all
and SPs.
Experience and wisdom that you already have. I think you should. The other time we had... the former deputy minister of education, Natalia Guagasis, and she was or is pursuing her PhD at 60.
You see.
I think you should do it.
Yeah.
And besides, I believe you will do so great because they'll be talking about things that you practically deal with every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That.
Your assignment will literally, while you're at work, looking at the kids and doing it and then nail it. 90%. 89.
I like how you think. I'll take that positivity. Yeah, then, whether I'm going to get through it though in one piece.
Call me up.
Can you imagine?
And to remind me, like, you know what, happy? I did it. I need to come to your graduation.
Yeah. I hear you. Thank you. Wow. Thanks for the encouragement.
Sure.
If I'm not too old for it, I'll probably.
No, you're
do
not.
It.
Definitely not. I even had a topic one day here. You're never too old to go back to school.
That's also true. Mm-hmm. That's also true. I think Sam Nyoma was, not Sam Nyoma. Well,
yeah, it was
Madiba as well. Madiba studied until he was about 80, I think.
Yeah.
So you're never too
do
old.
It, just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. It's been a great conversation. A beautiful one.
Thanks.
I've learned so much, you know.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. I can talk a lot, but I really felt like this was a platform where everybody was ready to hear about disability and the real, the beauty and the beast behind it all.
Thank you. Thank you for educating me as well. I am coming for that visit. Definitely. I also need to know a lot so I can know how to deal with people with disabilities. So I can know what role I can play.
Yeah.
So I can know the right words to say. I mean, even if you bump into somebody in town, perhaps you saying something small may just brighten up the day.
Exactly. I love the way you think.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So now your last words to that mommy, to that daddy who has a child with special needs and maybe going through a rough patch right now, feels like it's never going to get better. But with your experience, we realize it does get better.
You were chosen. That child chose you. And it is an absolute honor to be a mother and a father of a child who teaches you about life without having to live through it. So grab it with both hands. I always say to my husband when my daughter passed away, she was the best bad news we've ever received. It wasn't fun. It wasn't always pretty and good to know that she was going to suffer and that we probably would never be able to support her through it. And she's the strongest person we've known. No matter what disability your child have or had, they were born for a time such as this. God doesn't make mistakes and he doesn't use our children to punish us.
Thank you.
They were born for a time such as this with the skills and the purpose that they need to get through this life. You make sure that you are the boat that keeps steering them in the right direction.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much, Abby.
Pleasure.
And with that being said, we have come to the conclusion of today's episode of Early Intervention for Children with Special Needs. And I had in studio with me Happy Van Wyk. And if you want to reach out, hey, Google is your best friend. Go Google her out. She's right there. And side by side intervention, you'll get it wrong. Trust me.
Bye.
Yeah. So with that being said, now I say my goodbyes. Do stay tuned for Bernadette. She brings you another topic. And I'll see you again next Saturday. Good night.
Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.